Well, for all of you this morning in Morden here, I greet you with Paul's word, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I welcome you here today in God's house of prayer. My name is Jake Fraze, for those that you don't know, and my wife Anna is also here with me. And as we are glad to come and join you here and, worshiping God, the great God that we have, we realize that if without Him we aren't going to go anywhere, or we would be not having our breath today. And so also I would just ask that you would feel welcome, those that are maybe not regular here, those are our guests here. We would just also pray that you would feel welcome as we worship God together, as the Word of God comes to us through the Word, that the Bible that He has given us, and that's what I will also be speaking on, is the Word of God. And so before we go to song, I would just ask that you would bow for a prayer. Heavenly Father, again, as we bow our hearts here before You, we are thankful for a house that we can get together in, that we can sing praises as the songs that You've given us. May we all have strength from You to sing from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, to praise You, to honor You and glorify Your name, as we realize that You're the God that deserves all honor. And so we thank You for Your Son that You sent, Jesus Christ. And Jesus, we thank You for loving the Father so much that You would do this, pay the debt for us, that we could be freed from our sins. We thank You for that. As we realize, You had to go through a lot. And so also for us, Lord, that You will grant us strength that we can also do the same, that we can humble ourselves before You. We can bring all our things that we have in our hearts that may be troubling us. And if we are rejoicing, Lord, may we just be rejoicing and today. And so, Father, again, we pray for each congregation, or the people that have come here in the congregation, the song leaders, and the deacons, and myself, Lord, that Your Spirit would move through us, and that the Word of God would pierce our hearts, Lord. We know that the Holy Spirit is powerful. The Word of God is powerful. And Lord, if You empower it by the Holy Spirit, we realize it goes right down deep into our hearts. And Lord, it can cleanse us. It can motivate us, encourage us, as we realize that it is the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that You sent. Father, we pray also for Morden, the town here, the people. We pray for the government, the local government here, as also for our government in the province, in the Canada. We realize that they have a lot of decisions to make. And Lord, we also realize You have elected them. And we pray for them that Your Spirit may lead and guide them. We pray for those that are sick and those that have are lonely, and also for those that are spiritually sick that may have not been able to have strength to come here this morning or any other church where they may be gathering. And Lord, we also pray for those that are going out and speaking today Your word. May You grant them strength, Lord. Again, we thank You that we have a house where we can gather. And I just want to also pray for the Sunday school teachers and the students, Lord, that are also being worshiping in their own area there. So we just pray for them. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now we'll have a couple of songs.
Every hour, oh, stranger.
Thank you for those beautiful songs. Starting, we need God every hour. We need Him, and also He's leading us all the way. We allow Him to lead us. We, you know, He wants to lead and guide us to every part in our life. He doesn't want just one part. He wants all of it. And so for me this morning to start off with is that, again, salvation is one of the most important part in our life. But there's also life after salvation, after where we have received salvation, where we now move on to know and get deeper into life, into God and teachings. And so as we know that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so we can see how God has given us the grace that we can be saved, that we have faith in Jesus Christ, and that not any of works that we do. And many times maybe it's been said that, you know, people say, well, you have to have works. Well, James does say, you know, if you have faith without works, the faith is dead. So you need works with the faith. Otherwise, it doesn't work. So we need to have it. Verse 10 says very clearly in that same chapter. He says, "For we are in His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." So we have many things that we, how we can proclaim Christ, how we can proclaim His way as how we walk, how we conduct ourselves in our regular point of life. And one of the things is that that we treat others with respect. We do not, treat them unkindly. And so it's very, very important how we treat people. And yet there's other ways. We also show on how we carry ourselves, how we dress ourselves. People many times today are saying, well, it doesn't really matter how you dress. It's just long as what's in my heart. Yes, it does matter. It does matter how we dress. It has a big thing to do about what shows in our heart what it is. And also, in one place, it's very, very few times or hardly ever even spoken about. And sometimes I wonder if we want to just, just take it also out of out of the Bible. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm sometimes surprised that we don't want to hear it. And then first three verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 has a very clear statement about authority. And one of the things is that is what is missing in today's society is authority. There is no authority anymore. It is no man or woman, they can't say anything anymore and saying, well, you can't do that. You can't do that. And it is, authority doesn't say they're authoritator. They are authority. They listen, they love, they move according to the scripture, according to God's word. And so it's very important for us to realize that we have authority. Every person has an authority. There's God as authority. As we will read here, the first three verses says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So Paul is talking about being followers, not being running ahead, but being followers of Christ. Even, follow him as he says, as he follows Christ. He says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them," as I deliver them to you. So ordinances, and I realize some people will call that traditions. And these are not traditions. It very clearly states in the German, it says, the way, Weise. It's the way of the way it's done. It's not saying that, oh, this is tradition, the way, verse 3 saying, well, we would say, well, then I'll read verse 3 and you tell me, is that tradition? It says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Is that tradition? Absolutely not. It is totally truth what God has put there. He has put authority in our lives. And we know that government is there to make rules, that we are saved. We don't really need that command or the rules anymore because we know what keeps us safe. Stop signs keeps us safe because we're not going to drive it through a stop sign. And if we do, we know many times we can very easily have an accident. Or we drive too fast as we realize that. So we know what authority tells us. And here he's telling us that saying that there is a way of life, the way of Christ. And then as he says, the head of every man is Christ. So the man should be following Christ. And then it says, and the head of the woman is the man. So then as the man follows Christ, the woman is following the man as we follow Christ together. When we got married, we said, you know, the closer we get to Christ, the closer we walk with him. And so we walk together. As we see that many times people say, well, that's an authoritator. The man is just being authoritator. Well, that's not what man is supposed to be. Man is supposed to sit down and listen. Man is supposed to love. And it's supposed to show the way. When it comes to making decisions, final decisions, man is supposed to make the final decision. Just like Christ makes the final decision for man. That's for both of us, man and women. As the same was decision Christ listened to and humbled himself before his Father, the God of heaven, saying, he makes the final decision. And so there is authority. And seeing that, and I know there was one radio talk show or ministry, they said, there was so many suicides today, and it says, you know what? They asked, is there a word that you could describe this? That why this is happening? He says, there's no authority. Authority is very lacking in this world today. And we see it. We see, especially it's North America, very, very low authority. You go to any schools or any things like that, you see that they don't want to listen to the principal. They don't want to listen to teachers. And you go to homes, they don't want to listen to parents. Why is it? Number one, we didn't listen to them. Number two, we don't give them directions. We don't show them the way it should be done. And when no means no, it is just the way it is. And see, and that's the same thing goes when we read further into this chapter. It shows authority. Many say, well, that's the greeting. When we say here, every man praying and prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Who is his head? It is Christ. He dishonoreth when he covers his head when he's praying and prophesying. And speaking of Christ. But then he says, but every woman that prayeth and prophesieth without her, with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, which is man. But it all goes right on top. Man, Christ, and God. It dishonoreth him, he says. For that is even all one as she were shaven. You know, and society today don't want to hear it. You know, and somebody said, you know, how do we read the Bible? Many times people say, how do we read the Bible? The way it, a lot of times read the Bible is how culture is today. We sit down and we read it and say, how's culture today? We read it according. This is what culture teaches, and this is how we proclaim it, or how we see it then. That's exactly how it is. I pray today that you will, when you read the Bible, you take the Bible, and you will read it, and you ask the Holy Spirit to read it the way he has meant it to be. Every word, because it's still today, as he said, well, it was for the Corinthians at that time. Well, so far, I have not heard it was just for the Mennonites. I have not heard it was just for the Germans. Even this, two verses after I said the authority part, saying head uncovered, head covered. It didn't say Mennonites. It didn't say just Corinthians. It says the followers of Christ. It didn't say anything else. See, and that's where much of today's society, we want to read it as saying, well, the Mennonites did it. Those Mexican Mennonites, or those, you know, those that moved out. That's not what it says. It doesn't say that at all. And that's why we have to be so careful. How do we read our Bible? How do we say, well, we can have short hair as women? Well, let's read further. It doesn't say that we can have that. It said we should cover, we should, and men should uncover. And men, later we'll read that short hair for men. It doesn't say anything about Mennonites. It doesn't say anything about German people. It says the followers of Christ. Those that show there's authority. What and whose authority they are under. It says further, it says, for even all one as they were, she were shaven, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn, he says. And but it, if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For one, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. And I realize that later we talk about the covering, verse 15, saying, well, that's the hair. You know, even then, if we would believe that, then there would be long hair. Women would have long hair. But we need to understand that it's not. It's a taking off and putting on. So if there is a difference between the long hair and having a prayer covering. So here further he says, for the man is not. Here he describes how who is from whom. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. So we can see what to who was created what. And that's what God did. God, when we go back to the creation right from the beginning, what was it for? It was a way that God had made things. And he made it perfect. It was absolutely, wonderfully, perfectly made. And so he describes further, he says, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. So we, many times, we are feel degraded when this is supposed to happen. But there is no degradation. See, there's a power on her head. Because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. So everything I've still read in here and have talked about in the Lord, not in any man of sort that has created this idea. Nowhere. And so we need to read it according what it says. It doesn't, you know, say according well how man society or how they are dictating things. The world dictates very much so. And I will later, I want to go into Jude. And there is much about it, talks about that, how there's dictated. And so, for the as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also of the woman, but all things are of God. Again, two verses in a row, all things are of God. They are created perfectly, the togetherness. But there is an authority. Judge in yourselves, is it commonly that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is shame unto him? As I said before already, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given her for a covering. And then further he says, well, then there's contention. And it says, it talks about being the contention here. He says, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such customs. Well, that word customs, again, it's used as maybe traditions. Yet we go back to the other languages as the German language. Again, it says, it's the way. We do not have contention. It is the way, the church of God does not have that way. The church of God does not have strife, contention. They move according to Christ's way. Now is in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. So we're seeing that there are people that are coming together, that they bring strife, even bring things into the Bible that really isn't there, or take things out, and now they bring strife. As he says, for first of all, when ye come together in the church, I pray that there be division. I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it, he says. I will read that verse again. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. He says, verse 19, he says, there must be also heresies among you. They're bringing things in. Heresies is somebody that brings in a teaching that is not there. And then saying that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. So those that are opened up to seeing who are they that are bringing this division. The Bible teaching, why are they, you know, what's the division there? And who's bringing it? And saying that we shouldn't be doing that. We should be open what the scripture has to say and not have divisions. And so I really pray that we do not take things out of this Bible. This Bible, again, later I want to talk more about it, but it's an instruction book. And this Bible, we need to read it as how the Holy Spirit has written it. Not through men, not through our own eyes, and not the way culture will dictate. That's not how God has meant this Bible to be read. It has meant it to be read according to the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding. And so I want to really encourage you today with that. And I want to go over to the second part, and there we want to go into Jude. And there too, again, you know, we'll go into it, and that a lot of it is, again, brought a lot of things in that shouldn't be in the church, and that things that should be in the church are not there. And so I want to let us kneel, whoever's able, pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord bless the prayers of them prayed. Amen. Wonderful song. Thank you very much. Thank you for the prayer. I want to go over to Jude. I want to just go through that book a little bit. And again, here in the first part, first three verses, Jude starts off with Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. And I thought, think sometimes, being a servant. I know Paul, somewhere in the areas, he also writes, he's a slave to Jesus Christ. And one of the things is, a servant is somebody that gives himself totally to this master. It's not someone that just gives just part of it, but totally, as Jude said, the servant of Jesus Christ. And brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God, the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace, and love, be multiplied. And then he talks and says, beloved. And we, you know, ourselves here today, I want to say, beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. And we sang about this salvation that we have. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you, you know, really strongly remind you for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So earnestly contend for the faith that is given to us. This salvation, the common salvation it talked about, to earnestly, and there's a reason for that, to know that what the instruction book is telling us, not just what somebody else is telling us. We have many different ministries in the world today. They're talking about what the Bible, how the Bible's laid out, and yet many of them are not right. It does not match the Bible. And so we must say that content for what it says and what we have. We need to read our instruction book. If we don't know our instruction, if you sign a contract of some sort and you didn't read the underlying things, then all of a sudden you find yourself without a house or without a car. Or you find yourself, you have a lot more debt than all of a sudden you were expecting. So we need to make sure that you know what the instruction says. Much of today, people don't read the Bible. That's very sad. Very, very sad. When we have leadership, and I mean some of the leadership that teach, don't read the Bible regularly, I want to tell you, that's very destructive. Because they have gotten some information off the internet. There's lots of information on the internet. But you also know that we have the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit will teach us. We have a few places in the Bible that tells us that. I believe it's John 14:26. 1 John 2:27. The Holy Spirit wants to teach us. And it wants to continue to remind us what our faith is. And what we need to do in that faith. So earnestly contend for this one. Verse 4 and on, it will tell us that there are people that have crept in. Verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God unto lasciviousness. It's a lust thing. Lusting after things, lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can see here are people that creep in and that they bring things that are not true. They are not godly. We listened to a radio station this morning, and I can't remember what it's called, but it's New Age. Very New Age. It was much about green. Much about just the creation, not about the creator. And so, very destructive, but very sly, very subtle. Nothing very, you know, drastic. It would almost sound right. But when you read the Bible and you know your instruction book, you listen to this and you say, well, that does not sound right. Something is, as soon as they started talking, it's like something's very wrong with this message. And he says further, he says, you know, people, they were saved from Egypt. The next verse talks about how these people that were saved, the Israelites, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. So here we can see that the Israelites, they came, they were saved, they were out of bondage, they came out. And they were just joyful when they got through the Red Sea. And they were singing the song of Moses. They were praising God that they came out of bondage. Guess what? Many of them did not make it because they didn't believe. That's why. We be so careful with our faith that we have that we stay on that rock, on the believing in Jesus Christ and what he says, and that we're his followers, we're his servants. We are prisoners of his. We're not just any, you know, oh, I knew once, I heard it once. Yeah, but I have never had personally a relationship with that Jesus Christ. We need that. If not, we will fall by the wayside. We need that instruction book. We need to know what it says. And we need to know the Holy Spirit. And it further says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So here we can see the angels themselves weren't safe. They also fell. So we can't just lax off and say, well, you know what? We have salvation. We're all good to go. No. We can also fall. And this is much of people today saying, no, we can't fall. We already have salvation. Once saved, always saved. My friends, if these could, how are we not? If the angels that were already with God did, we need to contend, earnestly contend for our faith. Not just say, well, I do what I normally do. You see, here is a few examples. He says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about them in the like matter, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. You know, fornication, we think it was that's all just between a man and a woman. That's not all so either. We can fornicate with the world, with the Babylonian way, the way the world has set things up, that we can do it and live according to the world. We also fornicate. So Sodom and Gomorrah, they had gone after fornication, strange flesh. As we see much of today, homosexuality, so much of it. Transgender, so much. You hear more and more. And then I go back, why? Where's our authority in our houses? Where are the men that are supposed to take care of their children? Where are they? That's the thing where it's so much. But they have too much to do. They have too many things that they're doing. They can't teach them. They don't know themselves. They don't know themselves. But they need to know the love of God in order to teach them the love of God. They need to know the instructions in order to teach them way to go. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. And then further, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. So I can see so many times of government, people speak evil of government. Why did God put our government there? Why is Trudeau in our government today? Why is he there? And we complain. Yet that's how the country is going. And God puts him in there for a reason. And we as Christians should be on our knees and praying for this Trudeau, that God would give him and grant him the strength to do his will. It may not look like how I would want it. It may not. It may not look the way you would want it. But you know what? God's will be done. He has a will. And we ought not to speak against those that have authority. Church authority. The authorities that are outside. We see so much of it today that they don't have fear for the police force. They don't have the fear of the government. They have hardly fear of God anymore. They speak against him. And then verse 9 says, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him an railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuked thee. Even Michael, the archangel, he wasn't even going against speaking evil against the devil. But he said, the Lord rebuked thee. That's where we got to go. We got to go to the Lord, and he said, he's the one that will rebuke him. But these speak evil of those things which they don't know. You see, that's many times what it is with us. We don't know. Why does God do these things? Why are they there? They are there, and we see through the Old Testament, we see exactly why they were there. They were to punish Israel, and sometimes it is to punish us, to bring us back to him. We don't know how, but we speak against this. And he says, but what they know naturally is as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. So we have to be so careful what we speak. Against whom do we speak these things? Woe unto them, he says, for they have gone in the way of Cain. And I read it a little bit again today. The way of Cain. Disobedient. You see, God had, when Adam and Eve had sinned, he had put instructions there for them. And the instructions was to kill an animal, to spill blood. Cain, he wasn't going to listen to that. I'm going to do it my way. Guess what? I'm doing fruit, so I'll just use the fruit as a sacrifice. That wasn't acceptable. And then Abel did, and then he did. He killed the firstling animal, just like the instructions was said. And we don't read the instructions, what God had said to them, but later we see exactly how the firstling, that was supposed to be killed. And then Abel did, and Cain didn't like that. You know, he said, wow, now you are goody-goody. I don't like that. But God said, the sin is at your door. Guess what? Yeah, he killed Abel. But like I said, woe unto them, for they gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam. So we can see how Balaam, for reward, you know, he was a prophet. But again, he didn't listen either. He went to talk to God. God told him something. And then he greedily ran after the people. You know. And then further he says, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Kor was a man also in leadership. High leadership. But you know what? He wanted the leadership of Moses. And God had put Moses there. And Korah could not have that leadership. It was put there for Moses, the man of God. And as we see here, Korah, he tried to do that. He tried to take over. And it didn't go good for him. These are spots in your feast, he says. He says, even in our own feast, even the people that we may fellowship together with. Of your own feast of charity, you know, together where you're sitting. And the feast with when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, again, without fear of God. Clouds, they are without water, carrying about the winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice plucked, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. So we can see here how these clouds, many times we've seen this year, seeing clouds over, look like nice clouds, rain clouds, and guess what? No water. See, he's comparing these also. They don't have eternal life. They don't have eternal water. They don't have fruits, as it here says. They're trees like they wither. When we are solid and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ, who do we believe in? Who do we trust? Him and him alone. And we do not step off of there. That, he says, contend for that faith. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Things go wrong. We say, Lord, here we are. We know you will take care of things. I don't have to. I am rooted and grounded in him. He says, raging waves out of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. So we can see, again, a lot of these are with evil spirits. They are moving after evil spirits. Because as he says, wandering stars. These stars are angels. They are reserved for the darkness, the blackness of darkness forever. Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. They are murmurers, they are complainers, walking after their own lusts. In their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. You know, complainers, murmurers. You know, I don't see, you know, so much, we have so much complaining going on. We have it so well, and yet there's so much complaining, so much murmuring going on. I want it better. When you see people that have great swelling words, and then when it comes right down to it, they don't know what to do. They don't have those words. They don't know what to do. And yet they have them there so that people will admire them. They will admire them. They'll say, oh, yeah, because they have an advantage. You know, they could take advantage of these kind of things. Verse 17, he said, but beloved. And I'm talking to you as congregation here today, but beloved. He says, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers. You know, we even ourselves, we know that there's going to be mockers in the last time. They're going to mock even the genuine, solid ground of Jesus Christ, or what he did. They're going to mock it. And he said, who walk should walk after their own. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separated themselves and essentially having not the Spirit. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I encourage you today, brothers and sisters, anyone here today does not have salvation, come to the Lord today. He wants to, you know, clean our hearts. He wants to give us salvation. And if we have salvation, build yourselves up. Make sure you are in the Word. Make sure you are praying in the Holy Spirit. in your holy faith, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Looking unto Him, keeping yourselves in the love of God. And many people, actually I will say, do not know what the love of God is. They've never felt it. They've never felt it. They even sat in the congregations for many years. They don't know what it is. God loves you. Loves you so much. But we need to be so careful with this world that we live in today. They want to convince us. And it's not just the outside world, but there's lots of word coming in that we need to be very careful, and we need to sift. We need to test it with the Spirit of the Holy One. Otherwise, we will be pulled in. That's why it's so very, very important that we are very alert. We know what's going on. And that we also will go out in this great commission that He has given us. As He says in verse 22, He says, and some having compassion, making a difference. Compassion towards others if they're not saved. He says, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And so, I just really encourage you today, let us look for the Lord Jesus Christ, that our hearts are filled daily with the Holy Spirit and with the love of God. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the warnings You give in Your book. We thank You for the encouragements that You give in Your book. The comforting words of love. Then we realize, God, You are love. And in love, there's no sin. And through Jesus Christ, we can be free from sin. Our flesh will always be with us. It will war against us. Yet, Father, we know through Jesus Christ, we have peace in our heart. You have paid it, the debt. And now, we can be free from bondage. And yet today, we ask that You fill our hearts with Your love by the Holy Spirit. That we will pray without ceasing. That we will continue to speak to You. And we will continue, be with You, and think of You. Then we know when we think of other things, so much of the world, we have many negative thoughts. And when we think of the world, then we have a lot of lustful thoughts. Lord, may our mind and our heart be totally turned to You, that we may love You. Give us strength that we may love You with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in the world. As that we go out and proclaim the word of God. The word that You have given us. That there is salvation. That we can be saved. They can be saved. That they can be saved. Lord, that the fire of the Holy Spirit will burn in our hearts and that will give us the love for others. Again, thank You, Lord, for everything, for Your word, as we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. We don't have to pray only here. We can pray anywhere, morning or evening, if need be, day and night. Let us, again, whoever is able, kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. the Lord bless the prayers of them prayed. Amen. As far as this morning's worship service is concerned, I won't bring you any more, as I want to just thank you for coming. Thank you for the song leaders singing the songs. I want to just add again that as ministerial, we have much love for the congregation, and we want to continue to also teach, as I heard, that they wanted to put up a young Bible study group, and so that they may also learn their children how to walk. And so that's it's very good, and we as ministerial want to just make sure that you know that there's a love out there for you, even though we may sometimes speak a little strong, and I do, but I also want to make sure that people don't take it lightly, because this word of God is not to take lightly. The love of God is not to be taken lightly. It's speaking very, very, very strongly that we go forward in doing that. And so I really want to encourage people to do that, and that they will learn the instruction book and what it says. And so as that goes, I just want to bless you yet with the benediction. Let us bow. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord preserve thy going out and coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. You may go in the peace of the Lord. Remember that Jesus loves you.